From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Thy Kingdom Come, Praying for the Reign of Grace, part of this series in the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's selection is called Among the Redeemed. The text is Numbers 23 and verse 9. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who would wish to dwell among the nations and to be numbered with them? Why, even the professing church is such that to follow the Lord fully within its bounds is very difficult. There is such a mingling and mixing that one often sighs for a lodge in some vast wilderness. Certain it is that the Lord would have His people follow a separated path as to the world, and come out decidedly and distinctly from it. We are set apart by the divine decree, purchase, and calling, and our inward experience has made us greatly to differ from the men of the world. And therefore our place is not in their vanity fair, nor in their city of destruction, but in the narrow way where all true pilgrims must follow their Lord. This may not only reconcile us to the world's cold shoulder and sneers, but even cause us to accept them with pleasure as being a part of our covenant portion. Our names are not in the same book. We are not of the same seed. We are not bound for the same place, neither are we trusting to the same guide. Therefore, it is well that we are not of their number. Only let us be found in the number of the redeemed, and we are content to be odd and solitary to the end of the chapter.
If I gain the world, but had not Jesus, were my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest and comfort in the things that soon must pass away? If I gain the world, but had not Jesus, would my gain be worth a life of strife? Are all earthly pleasures worth comparing for a moment with a Christ-filled life? Oh, what emptiness without the Savior! Mid the sins and sorrows here below, and eternity, how dark without Him! Only night and tears and endless woe. What though I might live without a Savior, when I come to die, how would eternity.
joy of having all in Jesus. What a balm the broken heart to heal. Bear a sin so great, but He'll forgive it. Or a sorrow that He does not feel. If I have but Jesus, only Jesus.
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts. Entitled, How We Got Our English Bible, this short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it.
Thank you.
In the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, the Lord Jesus Christ instructed his disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come." In his introductory remarks, Dr. Cairns explained that the kingdom referred to here is not God's rule over his creation. Rather, it refers to that kingdom of grace which Christ established at his coming into the world. It is a realm occupied only by believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have come into a saving relationship with him through personal faith. In the lives of these, Christ reigns as Savior and Lord. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message called, "Thy Kingdom Come, Praying for the Reign of Grace."
But Jesus says about John the Baptist, "Among them that are born of women there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Now, as I say, without getting into the exposition of the text, there's one thing that stands out very clearly here. The Lord Jesus is drawing, as it were, a line of time. And he's saying, up until this time we have all these prophets, and standing now, in many ways, is the greatest of them, is John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. In other words, on the other side of this timeline from John the Baptist, something is commencing, and it is what Jesus calls the kingdom. And what I want you to see is that the kingdom comes with Jesus Christ. I think that's very important for many reasons that I really don't have time to follow through. But let me emphasize a basic fact that I keep on trying to get through to your heart as well as my own. There is always a tendency in people to intellectualize the gospel. There's always a tendency to come with the theory of the atonement, the theory or even the theology of the atonement and the incarnation or the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have these things all so systematized. Remember, I'm speaking as somebody who has spent the greater part of his life teaching systematics, systematic theology. I'm not against it. But the problem is we can get so wrapped up in little systems that we are like miniature Aristotles or Thomas Aquinas's. And we have everything led forth in such logical form that we have the theory, but we have missed the Christ. The kingdom. I could introduce you to a multi-volume set that is dealing with this one single theme of the kingdom. Other great tomes written about the kingdom. And I could introduce you to people who have this view and that view and the other view. And by the time you've got through it all, you've got all their theories. But somehow in the mix it's missed. The kingdom essentially is Christ coming, revealing himself, working, saving, blessing, ruling. That's the kingdom. Starts with Christ. That will lead you to the heart of what it means, this kingdom of grace. Grace always commences with the coming of Christ. The law was given by Moses, grace and truth came how? By Jesus Christ. Every sinner ever saved by grace was saved by Jesus Christ. Every needy soul who ever met with grace from God met with that grace in and through the merits and mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ. While a man is out of Christ, he's out of grace. While a man rejects Christ, he rejects grace. While a man is a stranger to the Christ of God, he places himself beyond the pale of the saving grace of God. Grace comes with Jesus Christ. And when Jesus comes with saving grace, he brings believers into a realm that is called the kingdom. Colossians 1:13 speaks of God who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Do you notice this great contrast? Why we were in darkness, deadness, and depravity, we were under the power of Satan. That's the realm in which sinners live their lives. But God has come and he has lifted us out of that realm, and by grace he has brought us into the realm that he calls the kingdom of his dear Son. He has brought us into the spiritual realm where Christ is our King of grace. Of course, as we have read this morning, this kingdom coming with Christ sets up what I will call a visible church. I'm not saying for a moment that the kingdom equals the church, but it almost does. It, at the moment, is a description of the visible church. Think of what we read this morning. Take a look at this parable of the tares. Jesus says the Son of Man comes, he plants the Word of God, that's the good seed. It produces fruit. There are people saved. And then the devil comes, and in the same soil, right beside them, he sows tares. Counterfeit Christians. And indeed, they are so intermingled. They look so much alike, and they are growing in such close proximity. And the relationship one to the other is so intimate that if you were to pluck up the tares at the moment, you would destroy the Christians. That's what Jesus is saying. Let me interject here. I have to be careful because I could get away off on another theme entirely. That picture is used by every compromiser in the world to say that you don't need to separate from apostasy. I had a Presbyterian minister live just 8 miles up the road from me in Ballymoney, and he came as the shining white knight in his new armor to defend the Presbyterian Church of Ireland's apostasy and its ecumenical compromise against the Free Church. He came as an evangelical. And he was ready for battle. And so he went into the press and he had his little sermonette printed. And this was the argument. Jesus says, don't separate. Don't separate. These three Presbyterians tell you to separate from the apostasy. Jesus says, grow together with them till the end of time. I challenged him to public debate on this. And he said, no, let's meet together, a few of your ministers and a few of our ministers, and we'll have a communion service, and then we'll talk it over together. I said, no, sir, we don't sit down to have united communion services with a bunch of compromising apostates. We don't do that. But here's the truth. The reapers are not church officers. The reapers are angels. Taking them out is not separating them from your fellowship in the church if you know them to be ungodly apostates. Taking them out is taking them out of the world. It's killing them. Jesus said that will remain for the future. But can you see what's happening? Here is the kingdom. The church professes to be under the rule and the reign of Christ's grace. But it's a mixed body. And I have to tell you, that to me is a scary thought. You look in this church, the Confession of Faith, which this and every other Orthodox Presbyterian church signs as a confession of its own interpretation and understanding of Scripture. The Westminster Confession admits this, and we freely admit it, that all the churches on earth are more or less pure, and they're more or less corrupt. There are saints and there are sinners. We do our best to ensure that the communicant membership of this church is a born-again communicant membership. We do our best not to lead men down to the gates of death and beyond into eternity, hoping and thinking it's well with their soul and never challenging them about their need of Christ. But the reality is that there are always tares among the wheat. That's a description of the kingdom. Jesus gives us the picture of the mustard seed growing, picture of the church. The leaven developing. Again, the picture of the church on earth. And the net bringing in all sorts of people. What a picture of evangelism. You bring in a great catch. Some people would like to tell you, if you have false professions, then your evangelism's all wrong. Well, it may be, but not necessarily so. I'd like to tell you, if you have chaff, then you can't really have had a real harvest. I remember when Dr. Paisley preached in Ballymena in the mid-1970s, God moved in a mighty way. I'll never forget those meetings. They were times of refreshing from the presence of God. You've heard me say before, when you see a farmer 6 feet, 6 feet, 2 or 3 inches tall, big, broad, brawny man that could lift a grown man in either hand and beat them together like cymbals, and you see him stagger up the aisle, staggering like a drunk man under conviction of sin and weeping his way to the cross. You're seeing a work of God. And yet there are people to this day in the town of Ballymena. And they will say there was no work of God. Why? For some chaff. You put the net in the water and pull it in. You're going to get good and bad. That happens to be his picture of the kingdom. So it's the spiritual realm in which believers live in obedience to Christ. And it's the picture of the visible church. But you know, it takes us away forward in time also to describe the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. Now, I realize that there are many people who don't believe that Jesus is actually going to reign on this earth. He'll reign on the new earth when God creates the new heaven and the new earth. Well, he will reign then. But according to Daniel 2:44, he reigns on this earth. When in the days of those kings, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. That's speaking of the coming of Christ, pictured in Daniel chapter 2, when he smashes the epitome of Gentile power. He takes it at its greatest expression, and he breaks it, and then, subsequent to that, his kingdom fills the earth. Will that be in a millennial earth? Well, Jeremiah 23 puts it beyond all doubt. And in verse 5, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." I suggest to you there will be no judgment in the new heaven and the new earth. The judgment's over. The judgment takes place in an earth that is not yet in the eternal state. There is a kingdom of grace It starts now in the lives of those who are brought under the dominion of grace by personal relationship and saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings them together into a community that we call the church, that for all its failures is the kingdom of heaven on earth. And its next great stage following the coming of the Lord Jesus will be his personal glorious reign on the earth. But grace is never finished in this age or even in a millennial age. Grace has not reached its great consummation. Therefore, when we turn to Scripture, we find the kingdom speaks not only of the kingdom of government and the kingdom of grace, but the fullness of grace in the kingdom of glory. And for this we also pray when we say, Thy kingdom come.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.